subset of people don't understand that the church is political in nature. So that meant that I had to go back from cancer to disease in order to get any kind of understanding of cancer. Now, that's also why it's desirable to do a whole, a very large theory or book, because then you, like the first thing I have is going to be really just a sketch, even though say it's a couple hundred pages of pure theory and type, but it will lay out all the main parts and it will put the church in its proper place and importance and function. And I do everything else but do that, right?
The interesting thing about people is that the church has functioned on different levels at different times in its history. That how do you put that in a total perspective?
Well, you consider all these things. So that, say, for instance, that's a good question. Although, that's what I mean. You should be questioning yourself. Every time you're doing a theory, ask yourself this question. Lots of people were saying to me, well, the church used to be that way, but now they are going to adjust in order to survive. All right, so you think about the Inquisition and so forth. Now, I admit that my hypothesis was slightly off because I was surprised by the violence we were met with, which meant that something was wrong with my theory. You can get killed that way, right? Theory's altered. Now you say, but then you have to ask yourself, how has it functioned over history, essentially? What's an essential definition of how it's functioned politically in relationship to government? Well, no, we don't know that.
Well, all right.
At this point, right? You say, if you define, essentially, its relationship to government, that's what I was doing when I was saying that if you traced it over history, that the ebb and flow depended on, that there seemed to be a certain pattern. You look for, when you say, that's why women are so key as a political class, because we're the only class with universality. That is, over time and place, we're shit every place, right? Has disadvantages, too, you know, like you don't have much of a chance. But it's in that sense, it's the only class that really meets the requirements of pure theory construction. It's universal. So that you can, that's why, like this book I'm writing on women and oppression, why I am saying that women and oppression are synonymous, even though the one is a class concept and the other is a relational concept. And that's where you've got to back that up, you know. A lot of stuff, but it deals with that kind of thing. So that you say to yourself, okay, it seems that the church has changed. That's reasonable. It's had such and such history. You block off the time. Well, you do notice, though, that if you just reassociate, there are countries where the church is very weak, especially if you look like Mexico after revolution, all these things, there seems to be a certain pattern with the church being very much under attack. When you have upheavals in a particular country where they are substantial upheavals in distribution of wealth, for instance, or a different kind of shape, you know, from like a rigid kind of pyramid to something flatter, right? So you begin to see and you say, well, what do these, okay, you've got like this, that's the history, church's history. So you might say, in terms of peak, well, you'd say it, you would have to say, well, what would you define as the churches, as the church when it was really became an institution? You would have to define that and why you define it. When it really got away, it moved into and set up certain physical and organizational, massive organizational, possessions. So that you would have to define why you said, why, in your opinion, it started here and up until this time. We might find that in terms of strength, and you'd have to say influence would be one thing if you're talking about political. By influence, you would be saying, well, that somehow the policies of the church and the policies, you'd have to examine the structure of the church. It has a very It has a shape very like a pyramid. It's very hierarchical. You would find that their policies seemed very close to governments they were with. Now, the important point I was making in that speech was that this was not accidental, nor even was it a consequence of a dictatorship. You see? So I was saying, okay, now we have this, and we have this kind of graph or something, okay? That's when the church is powerful, and we've defined, first of all, what you define as the church as an institution and its characteristics, essential, necessary, and sufficient. That is, without them, it can't be called a church, and without all of them, it can't be defined. Minimal and maximal, right? So you'd say, at these points, there seemed to be a confluence. That is, that the church could be seen as having an influence on the government because their policies seem similar. So then you say, what are these policies? How does the church supposedly have influence? Well, then you notice that according to the structure of the church and the ideology of the church, it's meeting the needs of the masses, of the people. Now, dictatorships often also, I mean, nobody says, I'm doing this for me, you know, because I like all the power. That isn't the way nobody ever put it, right? There's that, you know. Or like Jim tonight. I mean, that's, everybody does. Nobody says, I'm doing it because that's what I want. You know, I'm greedy for power. So you start to find these patterns. And that's why I raise that very basic question. Is it that the church appears in influence among the people, that is, number of people attending, number of people putting in who have memberships, number of people who can be swayed politically and made to riot and so forth. Like, say, for instance, in the article you may have read in the Times, News of the Week, they had about the right wing of the church and how many people are falling away from the Catholic Church into these right wing Catholic and fundamentalist religions. And they don't have an explanation. Well, it's not too hard. It's the same reason Wallace was getting support, because people are feeling the squeeze, and they don't want to have to think for themselves. They're panicking, and they want an absolute, and they're enraged, and they just want someplace safe to put it. Okay, so you can say, in those places, are they a result of bad conditions? And here they are. That's why they're strong, because people are suffering. Or can the church as a political entity only exist by exploiting the oppressed? Which would mean that it then becomes a biconditional. That is, that it is that the each needs the other. And that they are sort of like what we call our judiciary and congressional, the two sorts of the checks and balance, right? That what the dictator doesn't get, the church takes. So that they are not coincidentally at the same place, at the same time, over a pattern, you see, of instances. That what is generally thought that the church is powerful where there is poverty and despair, but that while they seem to come, and you have to prove this in terms of historical data, where they seem to come after your dictatorship or your overthrow into that, that the same conditions which were behind that are also behind the role of the church, which is complementary to the government, just the government is complementary to the church. And that they, it's no accident that they work so closely hand in hand in their policies. The church seems to influence the government. This is a misunderstanding of cause and effect relationship, because in fact, the definition of each and the survival of each is the same. That they both profit and grow and sustain themselves in the same set of conditions, even though B may fall away. So that they do not, in fact, give comfort to the poor, they take away the only margin of resistance the poor may work up by picking off everything else, by serving as propagandistic, so on. In a sense, really, the almost like a magician. I mean, the role is very different, but they are both political and not only congenial but necessary each to the other. Different functions. So they have different functions, but it's like saying, but in a different way. You always have to be very careful, because each theory may be a little bit different. Like, say, for instance, you deal with the male-female role. Now, one role, you can say, is the product of the other. In other words, without the male role, you couldn't have the female role. On the other hand, you couldn't have the male role, it's circular, because you couldn't have the male role without the female role. Even though there is a distinction between the machine and what it produces, could you say you had a productive machine if it produced nothing?
No.
But you would say that while they were both parts of the phenomenon of oppression, this did not mean they were the same. In other words, you may have different weights. The relationship within. All right, say for instance, you've got your apples again. That's your definition of apples. You could have many different variations between, say, okay, let's say we have a subset yellow apples, which means that the original set still contains all apples, and we take another subset, although we'll have to see if technically this is possible later. It took me 6 months, and I got this book to really mean theory construction. In class theory, 6 months, and I had 3 typewritten pages. And I worked hard with that. That's the set, subset, and how it locks in a set, and the trick. You know, and you say, that's what you do with your time. So whether you can take, okay, but say for instance, you could take subset A, yellow apples, subset B, crab apples. Now, one, I think it could pass for the moment, that it isn't dealing with color, but size and taste. Well, those two subsets may have different qualities, such as in the one case color, in the other taste and size. That's one difference that could be between them that could have an influence. First of all, in my way of doing theory construction, you can't, each subset can only be one additional characteristic. Just because it keeps it very, you don't lose anything on the way, you know. So, but you could have maybe yellow apples, there were only a few types under yellow apples numerically. And the number produced in addition, which you could go into or not. Where in terms of apples and how they evolved and so on, would be much greater quantity in your second set. Now this could influence, like, which apple grew out of the other. What was the original of the group? How did it evolve? Did it evolve geographically from other conditions and in fact from another fruit or vegetable? So that the relationships between any phenomenon or class, you must be very careful that you're loose enough to feel a very slight difference in weight, maybe. And any time, that's when you've got to sharpen your antennae. That's why when I walked in there in Washington, first saw the pigs with the guns, that was all, then saw that pit. If my hypothesis had been correct, I would have stopped right there and backed off. So you must be that sensitive to a theory to make mistakes, so you don't make mistakes. Besides, it's very demoralizing to make a mistake on the first page and you have 30 pages of your theory and you find it's all shipped, because back on page one, you had a fallacy.
That's a very intuitive approach to theory.
No, I say it must stand up to every challenge you can think of. But I'm saying that my intuition, which meant, I used to call intuition leapfrog logic. That is that you can sometimes see, you get feedback. See, my hypothesis was that there would be no fear, or that people knew how to handle fear. That when you see something and wow, you keep going in spite of it, because
yes,
your rage deep down is at that point. Now that was false on my part. That was a mistake, and it is a mistake that I made that is very serious on my part. It's almost less serious on other people's part. So that made me read the sensations wrong. I saw pigs with guns, I thought there must be an explanation, but I didn't like it. That was the first thing. Now I'm saying intuitively I should have stopped and said,
why?
It's time to examine my hypothesis and this counter example to my hypothesis. What is wrong? Something is off. So when you say intuitive, it can be explained. Unless it can be explained. In other words, it's a very temporary thing. You get an intuition or something, a sense, and then you say, what is this about? And you try to figure it out. But it's a warning sign. It's like a warning signal that means you should check. That's why, like, no matter what I do, I almost always sleep on things, even if I'm absolutely certain, and I write it out and it's fresh, I sleep on it. Same kind of thing. You're pretty certain. But where intuition, or where taking in information that is inconsistent with something in your expectations, saves you from only understanding this when you have the full proof, right? Which can sometimes be fatal. You know, like only taking it in when you lost the battle. That's why when I say intuition, I just mean that you're very sensitive to any challenge or any counterexample. That it's up to each of us to find the counterexample before our opposition does. Because what happens is our opposition was able to get away with by these steps. And truly by luck. I mean, just again, there is that margin of luck that they cannot really understand what a fanatical feminist would be like. Which meant that their hypothesis was off of strike, strike. But you can't count on your enemy making those mistakes. So that this is where exercising the mind, thinking, practicing thinking, seeing the pleasure of it, which comes from doing it, and then seeing that in fact you're right, and you begin to get a confidence, and you realize that you really can do things that you've admired and feared. And then of course what's very pleasurable, although it was mitigated somewhat in Washington, is to stand up and let them have it, right? Here's the theory, I'm wise to you, this is what you're doing, you're not fooling anybody, right? That's very satisfying. So that's why it's important to exercise all these different things and all the checks you have to make, how you begin. So I think also people, we got into very naturally, I think. Okay, what are the things, the class, in other words, very naturally we got into probably the central concept in political theory, which is the notion of class. Okay, but so what did we do? We got the distinction between necessary and sufficient. Oh, and I want each of you to give me an example tonight on that. Go around, everybody give an example of something that would be a necessary condition for a particular phenomenon. and then give me a sufficient, and then give me a necessary and sufficient. Or do you want a few minutes to write it down, work on it? Do you want 10 minutes? Oh my God. That always happens when things are going like this. The time slips by. Okay, well, listen, how do you feel? I'd like to sort of wrap it up. I'd like to go around.
Yeah, I think it would be a point of clarification, especially next week. Right.
Okay, so everybody put in, we'll take 10 minutes or 15 for each person to write down examples of one phenomenon, a necessary condition for that phenomenon, a sufficient condition for that phenomenon, and some condition that would be both necessary and sufficient. So I see if you've gotten that. Yeah. Unless we want to hear.
Yeah, it's rude.
Jean, are you ready? Okay, you go first, Don. Give us your necessary. Give us the phenomenon first.
The phenomenon, if we want to go swimming.
If we want to go swimming? Okay.
It is necessary to have water if we want to swim. It is sufficient if the water is as shallow as 1.5 feet. It is necessary and sufficient to have a large enough area in the water for the movement of swimming.
But you say we, so that means already you have opened the numbers. You're going to need more room depending on the numbers. So you would have to limit we. You would have to define we. Do you see what I mean? You must define sufficiently, just like you did the water carefully, how deep it had to be.
Mm-hmm.
You have to define what you mean by we. We could mean like all of us here,
mm-hmm.
In which case for people to swim you'd have to define, I mean, keeping in mind swimming would mean what, making so many strokes to constitute, I mean, we couldn't just all stand like in a bathtub, right? To swim you'd have to have a certain amount of activity,
mm-hmm.
And you'd have to establish what would constitute swimming in terms of motion. And ground covered, maybe. You know, you might just say you would make progress. You would have to have enough space to want the body lie out, right? And you'd have to make a certain number, which you'd have to establish. Would 2-3 strokes be sufficient, and why not fewer? It would have to be something to do with progress, motion. Then you'd have to define we to know how much space you'd have to have, and if you mean that we would all be swimming at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
See, that those would be important.
So it would be necessary to have water if I want to swim.
Right, that would be one way of making it easier.
It's sufficient if the water is as shallow as 1.5 feet.
Yes, but you don't deal then with the perimeter, which would have to do with lying your body out and how many strokes you have to take to constitute swimming.
But just a constant motion of any back and forth or any.
Yes, but you have to have how much. How much space must you have, not depth, but width, then?
To be able to keep swimming and turning around and swim back and forth.
But that would have to be part, I'm just saying as we go, those are right.
Yes.
But you've got, but see, you already got the idea because you considered the depth, so you know that it has to be functional. But you didn't consider the extent or all the aspects of the function. That's all. See, just.
the shift is it. When we miss special kind of way we would want special, we may work up some sort of but these are for nouns, these are for relational concepts and so on. How do find relate?
Yeah, that's the
and the quality of that. I mean, it's interesting because you could say that. You could say, I suppose there are many people would say that, are you saying that a physical relationship would necessarily be part of a relationship between women? Because that's your sufficient condition.
Well, that's why I started out with
a woman. Necessary, you have to be a woman.
Right.
It was sufficient to relate.
It is sufficient to relate to another woman to be a lesbian.
Yeah, but that's not, then you're not, depending on how you define that, sufficient means that with that one characteristic alone, you can define a woman as a lesbian. That's what sufficient means.
Yeah, well, that's where I got hung up on the acting lesbian. You see, I...
Yeah, but that's...
That's...
So you would, the way you would get around it, see, it's really sort of exciting about this. And the way I'm going about this isn't the way things have gone about it, is that we necessarily get over into all of these very interesting problems that have nothing to do with political philosophy, but have to do with the most abstract kinds of things. That has to do with the whole area that hadn't been too much about on identity. Now, especially when you get into people, it's a cross between identification and theory of action. Because, like, say, Sartre will take something like a murderer. If you commit one murder in your life, you're a murderer. However, if you kill somebody in a war, you're not. Mm. Now, how do actions define persons? So that this is a very interesting, and I think it's going to have to be. There is not that much literature on it. And maybe I'll dig out what there is, because it seems to me we're going to necessarily be getting into it.
It's 10:30.
Wow.
The answer. There to philosophy. And what was the other action?
Action.
So you can say, okay. You could say, four years ago, I acted in a cowardly way in a situation that I did not understand. But that action can be canceled out by other behavior that is the reverse of this, and I am then no longer, by definition, a coward by people dealing with that particular aspect of existence, of my existence, that is relating in the society with those rules. Now, how come you have somebody who robs, and you have to define robbing and the whole conditions and so forth, if somebody pays the money back, does that wipe out the robbing? And does that define a person as a robber? Why is it that some actions define a person for life, some actions under certain conditions? Then you have, that's why when she said about being lesbian, not being this, and I said to the other one, but I've had no sexual relations with anybody for a long time. But somehow, that doesn't mean the same thing to them, you see, but there's still this. So why is it, and like Jackie Sabias had a relationship with a woman, right? But because she denounces lesbianism on a political basis, she is not defined as a lesbian. So it is not the behavior or the activity.
Right.
Where, and you can also have the case, now maybe some of this is just simpler in terms of just wiping it out by society's problems, you know, that has something to do with what is accepted in society, and the degree to which it violate society in terms of the necessary conditions of the society they want to hold. Maybe that's where we would really get to use this kind of thing. It defines you in absolute terms. That means over time. So that somebody can kill somebody in certain circumstances, that is, not in a time of war, and under circumstances that are not allowable, like executing a person, and they are a murderer for the rest of their lives. That one act. Why? And yet you have something like sexual activity that action and identity is just very, not explored too much. I think I had some, I think Dante was doing some work on that. That's another thing I get, and I just say it, part of the annoyance thing. I get women who call me who are very, who really thinks politically. It's called tonight, she was wondering if they could print the piece at Catholic University. And I said, oh, what are you going to do on the church? She goes, oh, well, nothing, right? And I was thinking she was asking me about, do you know any philosophers who might have something helpful on aesthetic theory or something with that? And you think, geez, talk about cheek, you know? Anyway, but this is very interesting, and I think that we are going to be getting into it, particularly because we're going to be dealing with a very tricky problem, in fact, maybe insoluble, of transition, where we are going to be trying to change identity from prior behavior identity to another identity, and how that is accomplished outside, which in turn influences how we feel inside. And then, okay, I'll take these. I just have one other idea that I wanted, that I wrote down. And that is, that, I can't find it, but the idea was that, you see, while you have, if you don't have a proper understanding, if you don't have a proper explanation of the problem, you not only don't know what the solution is, but even more important, you don't know if you have the means to affect the solution. Now, part of the conditions of a solution, not just what it is, like, say, cancer, you find the cause, you can list several types of way you could get it at a cure, each one of which would require certain possessions, certain assets to affect each one. Given the requirements of the problem, that is, like in our case with women, time, pressures of time, the psychology of women and how to get at it, the organization of the opposition and effectiveness, the degree to which we're infiltrated, and conditions of that, aspects of that, that all of these things, that actually we may have. It's incredible, people launched a problem without considering whether it was possible to solve it. No, I mean, it's something to think about, because if we're going around convincing everybody there's a problem, and in fact, it cannot be solved given all these conditions, it's not a very responsible thing to do. And I'm in the same position.
But if it's a problem, it should be shown, and then maybe eventually it could be solved.
I think political conditions are a little bit, perhaps different. I don't know. It depends. I think political. Are you still okay?
No, I have a pain in my chest. It's wrong direction.
There are special problems, again, in political theory of time, generation, where you do not inherit the whole experience so that you have to start over again, other conditions. There could be certain variables such that it was impossible to solve, given the nature of the problem. But certainly we have to have an explanation of the problem so that we can, and maybe then see, there might be several ways or points of attack to solve, just like a disease. I mean, you could cut the contact various points. You can eliminate that mosquito, or you can vaccinate against it, or, I mean, there might be several approaches. And then you would have to say, well, what approach can I take because I can get the equipment for it? Then another consideration is, of course, what would be the quickest and the most effective solution? And again, with the least cost to your own people, and that's another ingredient that you only would have in political conflict. But these are all very serious questions that aren't even asked seriously. You know. So you can see why I get hysterical at consciousness raising. Anyway, I hope you also, I'm very pleased with tonight. We covered a very great deal of very important basic stuff of theory construction. I mean, we've actually covered the main parts of not only systems, we've begun the systems of method, but also first premise and how to take it apart, and then all subsequent premises, and we've begun connections. It's a lot of ground.
Thank you. workshops that we have to progress on what we have meant to do that have gotten heavier and heavier. Sense of realizing all of the things involved, even. And seeing in Washington too how, you know, how severe things are and how badly we need, people need these tools, and also to deal with whatever those issues are that prevent people then from using the tools they get, because that happens too. The tools aren't everything. This is something that I've always hated to try to deal with, because I don't know the answer, and it's sort of scary because maybe there isn't an answer to that. So that I've written out the notes, and I thought that it was time that people who did not think women were oppressed, Jessie's case was one way, in terms of she didn't think women were oppressed, and that taking up the time of the workshop to keep on fighting that battle was holding and demoralizing the whole workshop. The issue with Jean had to do, in addition, with the Washington trip, the observer status, especially when the shit started to hit. That this, given the hell I think most people who were there went through, that people being an observer and maintaining a neutral position was a very strong political statement. And that given, in addition, as I said, to not seeing that there was a problem of all women, each one of us, that each person individually needs a lot of work in a workshop. I've never done anything like this. The point was they cross tools. And you have to be looking at each person almost as a mechanism to see just where they're missing certain information, work there, and so on. So that if there's any resentment there on my part, won't work. Now, after the meeting, and thinking about things, wondering about Anne Marlene, concerned about what I was going to do in the paper, saying people were there as bodyguards, because they weren't, they were there.
Didn't you also say Jean was an agent?
I said that there was enough question. The tape says that, can be heard. I said that there were enough questions that it was a possibility. Now, certain people have told me, and I have underestimated before, their agents, and I've always had trouble with Marines. I know, I'm talking about cases where I know. So that when you see a series of things, now, this whole paper, well, the best defense is an offense, but I think this is the first major contribution you've made to this workshop, and it is, you found the energy to take apart the workshop, but not the Catholic Church. Now, I think that the workshop, I'm here in terms of tools. I'm not going to carry the responsibility of the workshop, politically, for other people. And one thing that really came out of Washington is, two, that everybody has to carry their own weight. I'm disturbed that in almost every group I know of in 4 years, that something will get to a certain point. There will be usually some, either it's an action or some scary question or something, and all of a sudden things get in a whirl, personal, an emotional kind of tailspin that then blows the thing apart and people start over again. So that struck me just in terms of not knowing what's going to happen. But, I mean, I was making notes on this as a theory, a problem in it, from that point of view. But the people in the workshop,